Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players and other musicians, uncover their life stories, and discover what makes them tick. If you love guitar, music, and the backstory of people's lives, then stick around. You're in the right place. If you're enjoying this show and you'd like to support it, go to everyonelovesguitar.com/support. And for information on advertising, visit everyonelovesguitar.com/advertise.
Hey, everybody. This is Craig Garber from Everyone Loves Guitar. And I am with a really cool guitar player, music director, and just a hell of a nice guy. We're with Adam Tico Hernandez. Tico is the guitarist. He's a guitarist and songwriter of Nashville, and he's got an interesting background. He's originally from Sepulpa, Oklahoma. I think you're the first guy I've met from, Oklahoma. And he doesn't wear a cowboy hat or nothing. He's actually half Costa Rican and half Oklahoman. Did I say that right? Oklahoma.
That's correct, man.
He grew up with a wide range of musical influences from country, rock, Latin, blues, and more. And he studied jazz and graphic design at the University of Tulsa and graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Graphic Design. He's currently the guitar player and the band leader for Mercury recording artist Lauren Elena, and they're doing great and her career's kicking butt. He's been with Lauren since 2015, and they've performed with Luke Bryan, Keith Urban, Alan Jackson, Chris Stapleton, and loads of other people. Highlights are playing Red Rocks in 2017 with Darius Rucker, Good Morning America, The Today Show, Harry Connick Jr., BBC Radio, and more. Throughout touring, Tico's played guitar in 23 different countries, and he also runs a really cool e-commerce store called Okies Rock, and that's O-K-I-E-S, Rock, R-O-C-K.com. He's endorsed with Breedlove Guitars, Eastman Guitars, the Dario Strings, and Planet Waves, Fractal Audio Systems, and Fishman. Tico, thank you for your time, man. I know this is a long time coming. I really appreciate your coming on the show.
What's up, man? I'm glad to be here, man. I'm so excited.
Tico's my social media guru. You are, man. So he will be your social media guru, too. You have to
Hey, just keeping an eye out for you, man. I wanted to make sure you got the name while it was still available.
he's a social – that could be a plan B, social media consultant.
Hey, why not?
You are a badass on there, man. I don't even understand half of what you're doing on there, but I know it's like really good. Hey man, you moved to Nashville in 2007. Was that like straight out of school?
Well, I did. Yeah, I moved in to Nashville in 2007 from Tulsa or from Sepulpa, Oklahoma, but it wasn't right out of school. I finished college. I guess I graduated. This is going to date myself in 2004.
Oh,
you know what? Yeah.
You're really dating yourself there, Tico.
I know. So I was playing in a band with some of my best friends from Sepulpa for 8 years. And right out of college, we went on tour for about a year and had been playing for a long time, but went on tour for about a year. And after that year, came back and got a job doing graphic design in Tulsa. And I really hated the place I worked at. And after a year of working at this place, I realized, I was like, man, if I could just make this kind of money doing music, I would be so much happier. And I asked to go to Costa Rica on a trip. I was going to take all my vacation time. And 5 days before I was supposed to leave, my boss said I couldn't have my full vacation time. And so I told him I quit. Like, this is my 2 weeks notice.
Good.
And I went to Costa Rica, and while I was there, I got an email from a buddy asking to go on tour with a guy named Liquid, opening for this band called Salvador. And it would be on a tour bus for a couple months. And they were all based out of Nashville. And that, after taking that gig and doing that tour, kind of opened the door to move to Nashville in 2007.
That's a good story. How did you go on tour for a year? Did you book your own?
Yeah, man. Well, we were hustlers back in the day, and we just kind of booked shows as much as we could and kind of found a tour to go on and went on tour. And we bought a small bus, like a small school bus, and gutted the inside and turned it into our touring bus vehicle.
Wow. No, that's really cool. That's really ambitious. I really respect that, man.
Yeah, man. The other two guys, two of the guys in the band, John and Josh, had seen it kind of done before, and they gutted it out and built this like three-way couch and a double mattress thing. And The only catch was is there this bus did not have AC and it was summertime.
Oh, wow.
When we parked, we had AC because we plug into power. But yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And those that's hot. That's hot. Wow. Yeah. But yeah. You did what you had to do. And what was your experience like touring? And where'd you tour? All over the country or?
Man, yeah, we went all over the country from Chicago to California. I mean, we not much on the East Coast. So I guess, I mean, we did a little bit in Atlanta and that kind of stuff. But we went from like the Midwest all the way out to the West Coast and back. So it was fun, man. It was with, you know, three of my best friends and fourth, including a roadie buddy of ours. And man, I mean, it's just experience you'll never, I'll never forget.
Was there any like lessons you learned from doing that, or what was the most valuable kind of thing you got out of that?
Man, I think you learn a lot too. I mean, even if you're best friends, that much time together in a confined space, you go through hell together, you know, and sometimes you're at each other's throats. And I think the biggest thing learned from that is just how to maintain friendships and how strong your friendships are and how much you can cherish that after that time, you know. I mean, we went through a lot of crap together, and it's cool to see us all still friends and what we learned from those days back on the road.
That's awesome, man. Do you think that gave you like a little more maturity so that when you went to Nashville and, for example, you got the Lauren Elena gig, that you were a leg up because of that?
Well, I think, you know, what you kind of learn in those days, I think the four of us guys learned for sure was that how to become a road warrior and how to take an 8-hour drive shift and that kind of stuff, and how to rough it on the road and maybe not get a shower every day. You know, you learn to just kind of adapt to those situations. And I think that definitely does prepare you for just all the situations you're going to incur touring and that kind of life on the road kind of thing.
Do you find like expectations, like all the stuff you just mentioned, like not showering and doing this and that. And if you didn't know that, like if I went out and had to go on the road, I wouldn't know that.
Right. So, oh, yeah, definitely.
Know, yeah. So my expectations would, I would, you know, your expectations would be much more realistic than like a newbie.
Yeah, correct. I mean, you think 100. Yeah. I think when you're newbie, you're stepping in, you think just because you're on a tour bus or just because you're on a major tour, like, that it's always easy. And sometimes it's not, man. I mean, there's just, sometimes you play some older venues that might not have the best accommodations backstage, and you're showering in a hockey locker room. Wow. And it might not be the cleanest shower you've ever had. And you just learn to like, okay, well, hey man, that's just one of those shows. And you're still getting to play music for people, still getting to do what you love doing. And you just kind of have to adapt to it.
Most of the people that I interview have that mindset of, you know, what you just said, you know, hey, at least I'm getting to play music for a living. Is that ever sort of tough to keep in mind when you are in a situation where it's just like everything, you know, one of those days where everything kind of screwed up?
Oh, absolutely, man. I think it is. I think it can get lost in the mix just through all the stuff it takes, to all the work that it takes to get the chance to play music. You know, I mean, all the work that goes into the hour that you have on stage at night, there's so much that's involved from everybody that's involved. And I think it can be easy to get lost in, we're getting to do what we love getting to do, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. So you come to Nashville, 07, you had this thing Liquid. How long did that go for?
I think I toured with Liquid we did a 2-month run and then just off and on and throughout Nashville for at least another couple of years. I started playing with a band called Group One Crew, after that. And then started playing with an artist named Jackie Velasquez, and then an artist named Nicole C. Mullen. And those two gigs with Jackie, well, with Group One Crew, I was with them about 3 years, and in the same time started playing with Jackie and Nicole, and those two gigs lasted for about 4 or 5 years each as well, and they were amazing times, man.
So you're pretty stable. No, I mean, as far as that's a weird thing. You're pretty stable. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean,
muchas gracias.
Yeah. Muchas gracias. Yeah. No, I meant, I think that the fact that you stayed in these gigs, you know, says something about not only your, obviously your talent level, because you wouldn't get there in the first place, but your maturity and your as a hang. You know, I just think that says a lot about someone when you have that kind of stability, as opposed to the guy that's bouncing around every 2 months, is unsure of himself. And you can have a couple of those, but I think when you have an ongoing career like that, you know, it's different than what you're doing. You're in one place for 3 years, you're in another place for 2 years, you're in another place for 4 years. You know, I think that gives you a maturity, and hey, you're the music director now. There's a reason why.
Sure, man. I mean, I think that is a lot to say. I know through listening to a few of your podcasts, of hearing people talk about how, man, it is the hang, and I think a lot of us that have been in it for a while could tell you that, you know, man, being able to hang and being able to work alongside people through any situation, and it definitely promotes your longevity in a gig. And man, I had nothing but good times, even through the tough times, with those artists that I've played with before I've been out with Lauren. And it's amazing experiences. And you just try not to take any of that for granted.
What, are you working on anything now that outside of Lauren's gig that you're kind of excited about?
Yeah, man. I've always loved writing music. And throughout the past 2 or 3 years, have had a chance to write with a couple cool people, one being a girl named Liv Austin in England, and doing some really cool things. I've had the chance to write with her a few times. It's been fantastic. Another one named Anna Krantz out of London as well, that I really enjoy writing and creating music. And so getting to do that when I'm not out on the road with Lauren has just been a blast, man.
How'd you hook up with these ladies from the UK?
I'll start with Anna. I guess I'm trying to give you the short version, but there's a pub in Nashville called Santa's Pub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that. I have a t-shirt from them.
It's maybe the best place on earth. It's definitely the number one dive bar in America. But I went back when it first started there, and through that met Natalie Osborne, who is sister to Brothers Osborne, the country artist, and John Osborne is married to Lucy Silvis, and she's an artist from London as well. And I became friends with Lucy, and one day Lucy had a friend come in from the UK, and her name was Anna Krantz. And so we met and started hanging out. I think it was one day her and myself and another co-writer, Carter, were at Santa's Pub and sang a Fleetwood Mac song on karaoke. And they're like, hey, let's try writing together. And it just so happened that we hit it off well and wrote some really cool music together.
That's awesome. Well, I will tell you this. My wife's from the UK, so those English women got something going.
Oh, man, they got just a cool vibe, man. Same with Liv. We had a show. There's a festival called C2C, or Country to Country Festival. Mm-hmm. And the London version of that happens at the O2 Arena.
Okay.
And so we, with Lauren, we were playing like one of the side stage arenas. It has like 4,000 people. Man, I can't think of the name of it for the life of me right now. But we were playing that venue after the main concert. So after the main concert was out, people came to our venue and played. So Liv just happened to be there at our show. And I think she was friends with one of the bands we were playing with, the Shires. And I met Liv talking backstage. And she happened to be from Norway, and we just came from Norway, which is crazy.
That is cool.
But anyways, hit it off and then started co-writing together. And man, it's awesome. It's just cool to make those friendships and make like connections like that that actually turn into cool music.
What do you think is going to happen? Or like, is there a goal or what you want to have happen? Or, you know, I mean, you're probably just taking it one step at a time. But like, is there any sort of game plan with something what you're going to do with your music?
Yeah, man. I mean, definitely taking it, you know, one day at a time, one step at a time. And when I have time to work on it, try to work on it. I'm not too positive on that. I think one day it would be cool to try to pursue some kind of publishing deal, to have the opportunity to pitch the songs
to other artists and stuff. But in the meantime, I enjoy creating the music. I wouldn't mind, you know, trying to record some stuff myself and just throwing some stuff out there and see what people think about it. You know,
that's awesome. That'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, cause you listen, man, you know, I have this sign on my wall. It says, there's only three reasons you will not be successful. Number one, you don't try new things. Number two, you don't learn from what you try. Number three, you give up. So if you put nothing out there, nothing will happen for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So you might as well put something out there. And if nothing happens, fine, but you can keep doing it. At some point, something will happen.
Those are some good words, man.
You know? Well, it's just from doing shit so long. That's all. You grew up in Oklahoma. What was your childhood like growing up there?
Man, especially if you talk to anybody from Tulsa, for the most part, it's like that area and the small, I'm from a suburb there called Sepulpa, you know, and it's so laid back. It was a really cool childhood, man. I had, my parents are awesome. We lived a couple blocks from my mom's mom and dad's, my grandparents from that side.
Wow. That's
cool. And, man, yeah, it was just cool. Like just got to, I loved growing up there. I had a good time in school, you know, playing sports, that kind of stuff. It was fun, man.
Awesome. And you said when you went to Costa Rica, it seemed pretty important to you, certainly important enough to, you know, quit your job.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think, you know, it's that as far as being a kid and growing up, it was tougher for me as a kid to realize the importance of how much time I really hadn't got to see my family from Costa Rica. So my dad's side, all of the family lived there. So my grandma and grandpa and aunts, uncles, cousins lived in Costa Rica. And so at that time, I think I was about 23 or 24 when that was going down. And I realized I hadn't seen them in 7 years. And I'm like, well, I think I have the ability now that I can start seeing them a lot more often. And now it's become more of a priority. You realize how precious that time is with family. And, yeah, so that was something for sure, that the Costa Rica side I love just equally as well, man.
That's awesome. How often do you get down there now?
I try once a year.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's kind of tough to plan for because you don't know if some shows are going to pop up or stuff on the calendar is. But usually, if you have enough advanced time to say I'm going to travel here, you know, they make it work.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
What kind of work did your mom and dad do when you were growing up?
So my dad worked for Oklahoma Natural Gas in the customer service field for the most part for a long time. He did that for a long time. My mom taught second grade and kindergarten, and they're both just now kind of retiring. But yeah, that's what both of them did.
That's very cool. So they weren't traveling around. They were pretty local most of the time.
Yeah, pretty local for sure. And we're always there. My mom, you know, she went to school while I was growing up. So she worked and went to school and raised me, as long as my dad working as well and raising me and having to deal with my crazy ass.
Are you an only child?
I am an only child. Okay. And I think I probably made up for the craziness.
You didn't need any more than one with you.
Exactly.
I hear you, man. How did guitar come in the picture? When did that happen?
Man, the funny thing is, like, there's this picture of me from when I was a little kid. I don't know how old, if I was like two or three. And I'm wearing this like bandana. Like, it's crazy. And I had this, my parents got me this huge Mickey Mouse guitar, and I'm just rocking out on this thing. I don't know what the hell I was doing, but I was rocking out on this Mickey Mouse guitar. I don't know. It was like three or four.
Wow.
I can't even remember. I have to ask my mom. but man, this picture of this guitar, like, kind of summed up. I mean, who would have known, you know, down the road I would end up be doing that. But, you know, my parents, my dad played guitar or plays guitar, but, he always played like serenading, was in like a serenading band in Costa Rica where they would go to like a girl's windows and sing these songs and stuff together.
That sounds like a pretty cool deal, actually.
Oh yeah, man. We recently found some tapes of him doing that with his little group, and it's pretty incredible, man. So
your dad must have been a player doing that.
he was Rico Suave.
Yeah, sure, I would imagine.
he had to be to get someone as good as my mom.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's nice to hear. She'll be, they'll be listening to this. Mom, is awesome to hear. That's cool.
But it's the truth. And so my mom then also grew up, she played piano, and my grandparents, my grandma played piano really well. So just kind of music was always around my house. And I remember, I think I was like 14. My dad in our guest bedroom just had his little nylon guitar sitting there that he brought from Costa Rica that was always just been sitting there. And one day I just picked it up and I was like, man, this looks pretty cool. Let's see if I can try to mess around on this thing. And he kind of taught me a few chords. And then it's just, that's the rest is history.
Took off from it. So you took to it right away and you sort of knew this is what I wanted to do, or I liked it enough to maybe pursue this.
Yeah, man, I really loved it. And it kind of came, decently. The first learning part of chords and stuff kind of came easily. And I got a passion for it, you know, right away. Yeah. I mean, just kind of learning the chords, starting off, and then I had a friend of mine in school that wanted, he knew I had kind of started playing guitar and wanted to go take lessons. And so we went to go check out this store called Roy and Candy's in Tulsa. And I met my guitar teacher, Brian Smith, and my buddy ended up backing out, but I was like, no, I want to try this. And so I ended up taking lessons. And then I spent 4 or 5 years studying under Brian before I went to college.
Wow, that's a long time. Yeah. So you had your shit together.
I guess kind of.
Well, I mean, you're studying privately for 5 years and you're playing professionally now. I imagine that, you know, you weren't a slouch after that point.
Man, it was invaluable, you know, to get the chance to do that. And then he convinced me to try out for jazz band at my high school. And I did, and started playing jazz band. And that led to me going to the University of Tulsa and playing jazz guitar there as well.
Is that the only program they had, jazz?
They had at TU at the time, they had classical and jazz.
Okay.
So it was one or the other. Yeah. I mean, you could study both. But I primarily studied jazz.
Do you consider yourself more of a jazz fan now? I mean, or a bit of a jazz fan? Do you listen to jazz, or you just,
oh man, dude, I love jazz. Yeah. Okay. But as far as like, man, I listen to the great jazz guitar players, and I definitely don't consider like, it's not my like forte as far as playing, but I love it and I love to play it. And I definitely like it kind of gave me this love for like Frank Sinatra, and I'd already liked Sinatra anyways, cause my grandpa had listened to Sinatra a lot. And, so yeah, man, it just kind of opened my world to players like George Benson and Wes Montgomery, and you hear what those guys can do. And it's just like, man, it's awesome.
It's amazing. Sinatra's appeal is like phenomenal, because I've got a guy I interviewed, Bill Lanero, out in somewhere in California, and he's kind of like a shred guy. I mean, that's like, I guess overall maybe more the genre, the metal-ish, and he's so passionate about Frank Sinatra. It's like,
oh man,
yeah, right. Like, oh, okay. He's an interesting guy anyway. He's got a lot of interesting things that he likes. But I think that appeal of
Sinatra, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like, okay, wow. He likes Frank Sinatra and like I think Elvis.
Wow.
And then he goes out and shreds.
How many decades did Sinatra like just put out amazing music? It's just incredible.
Yeah, hundreds of records, hundreds, literally.
Yeah, 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 man. He was amazing.
So I normally don't ask this question to people your age, but you've been playing guitar for long enough and you've had enough like road and proper experience. I'll ask you. And the question is, if you were to go back and give advice to little Tico Hernandez, you know,
yeah,
what advice would you have given to yourself to make your life either, you know, happier, less stressful, or smarter, or, you know, all the good stuff we want to be?
Man, I think if I had any advice, if especially if we're talking musically, it's, you know, to really kind of pay attention and grasp how amazing that early on hunger is to play. You know what I mean? Like when you first start playing guitar, like I remember I would drive my parents insane because I would be playing guitar for hours and hours, and then I'd have to put on headphones and I'd stay up till 1 a.m. just practicing stuff. And as the more you get older, I know that the time usually isn't available, or sometimes isn't available, but I feel like I feel like that time sometimes is available, and it's just, you lose that hunger because it just becomes work sometimes. And just to always just kind of keep in memory how amazing it is to have that hunger and passion to play like that, like when you first started playing, you know.
I hear that's nice to keep that in mind. All right, so let's talk gear for just a few minutes.
Sure.
Like, what's your go-to guitar right now, and what others might round out your top three?
All right. Well, let's see. So my main axe I'm playing right now is, it's a Eastman Guitars. They're 386 model, which it's kind of based roughly off a 335 from mm-hmm. Gibson. But it's a thin line hollow body with a couple humbuckers in it. And man, I just love that guitar. It's just become a great road workhorse, and it's a great road guitar. It can handle the pain of traveling, and it's awesome, man. It sounds great. I love it. That's Electric World. Acoustic World, my current acoustic that I'm playing now is a Breedlove. It's a Oregon Concerto, and it's made of all myrtle wood. It just sings, man. I love it. Like, those are my two like main workhorse guitars. And then my third, if I was going to give you a third one, I've had, I guess, since about 2000, it's a Eric Clapton Signature Series Strat.
Cool.
Fender. And I love that guitar, man.
Is that the black one?
It's actually like the gray one.
Gray. Yes. Okay.
But it has like the Lace Sensor gold pickups in it, yep. Which they don't make them with that anymore, but man, I love them.
Yeah, I know exactly the guitar you're talking about. It's a nice guitar.
Yeah, dude.
That Eastman, is that the same one? Do you know a guy named Eddie Robinson? I think he plays that, doesn't he?
Man, Eddie sounds familiar.
I think he plays that. Well, no, it's no big deal if you don't. I was just
I can't think if he plays the Eastman or not. Yeah. Who's Eddie out with?
Frankie Ballard.
Yeah. Man, I can't remember if he's playing an Eastman or if he actually has a Gibson, but I think he does have one of those thin line.
No, he doesn't have a Gibson. He has got two something, and I thought it was the Eastman.
Oh, cool. Maybe it is Eastman.
Yeah, interesting. Any are there any cool stories about how you got any of your guitars?
Man, not really.
That's all good, man.
Yeah, I don't have any cool what do they call it? What is Billy Gibbons' guitar called? The Pearly Gates that he found under his a hotel room bed.
Is that what I didn't hear that story? Is that what it is?
So I think so, man. I might be totally misquoting that story at all, but I think I remember the story behind his white Les Paul. He named the Pearly Gates and found it like under a hotel bed, just sitting there.
I don't know. I think story might be the key word there.
Do what?
I think story might be the key word there.
I
don't know how.
True. Dude, if that's true, man, that's the coolest thing ever.
Absolutely, yeah. It's 100%.
I mean, what a legend. Billy Gibbons is amazing, man.
Hey, have you who's influenced you that people might be surprised by?
Let's see. As far as like guitar players?
Yeah. That's interesting. I never thought of that. Yeah, or anybody else.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, man, it's funny how other instruments influence your guitar playing, but as far as guitarists go, that you might kind of be surprised to hear. One of them is going back to kind of the jazz stuff with Sinatra. Actually, two that I can come off the top of my head. One is Freddie Green, who was the guitarist for Count Basie, and
way back.
One of my favorite albums is Sinatra Live at the Sands with Count Basie, and those two paired together. But anyways, Freddie Green, man. He was known for kind of keeping time with his rhythm playing on guitar and really matched what he was doing with the drums. Like his feeling for rhythm was awesome. I think they call it like he would just chop wood and play along, but it kind of made me, especially during the jazz band days, really pay attention to locking in rhythm and feeling groove with stuff as opposed to just trying to play guitar. You know, you think of it more of like, hey, how can I fit in this situation? And he did that so well, man. It's awesome. It's one of my favorite guitar players ever. The other one in kind of in the same world, rhythm wise and voicing wise, is Joao Gilberto, who worked with Joe Beam. and all that bossa nova stuff, man, it's just so, it's just beautiful guitar to me. And I love hearing the rhythm of it, you know. It's just something so cool. I don't know if that's a good answer or not, but I think those guys rock, man.
No, you know what? I spoke to a guy the other day and he gave me the same answer. He's a real big guy on listen to Brazilian music.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and he said the same thing. So
that's great.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that as an issue. And he said it's interesting to hear the same instruments playing that, but they're used totally differently. You know, like you have the same instrument that, you know, he plays or you play, but it's used, it's not even used remotely similar.
Right.
Yeah. I listened to some world music the other day. I just got randomly turned on to. It's this band. I think they're somewhere out of the Mid East somewhere because they all had, you know, kind of turbans on and they were playing SGs. First of all, there were two guitar players, were both lefties. What is the likelihood of that? One had an SG, the lead was playing SG, the rhythm was like a green strap, both lefties. But then they were playing like pentatonic scales, but not used in any way that, you know, blues pentatonics would use them here. It was really, really cool to hear. I wish I knew the name of that band. It was great, though.
Yeah, man. That's the beauty of music, man, and the beauty of guitar.
Totally.
That's, man, cool.
Has your guitar playing changed at all over the last few years?
Man, over the last few years, I'd have to say yes. One reason is that I think it just kind of focused – I've learned to focus more on, I mean, I don't know if that's always a striving thing, is trying to focus on how to fit in your environment more. Hmm. And I just really focused on kind of rhythm playing and my like what rhythms I was playing and how, what space I was taking up and how much effects to be using in certain situations, and just learning how to just really focus in on that, just kind of fine tune that of like, okay, hey, am I walking over anybody else? Am I cluttering things up, or am I making things better right now? You know, I think that's just my playing has definitely changed a lot in that area, where I have just tried to dial in like, okay, hey, let's make this sound the best we can make it sound and fit in the best I can make it fit in.
With Lauren, are there two guitar players, or are you the whole guitar force?
Well, we actually just added a new member to our band named Nick Gibson, who actually is from Tulsa, Oklahoma as well.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. But so he's kind of like our utility guy. So primarily I'm the one on electric, but he's come on board and he plays electric as well and plays acoustic and kind of ganjo stuff. Where I'm playing mostly electric and now I'm a little bit playing keys. But yeah, so it's cool, man. It's a cool setup, but a lot of songs, yeah, I am the only like electric guitar playing.
Okay, so you really have the burden of, you have to fill both roles, both, you know, to support everybody and to take the lead once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of have to, but I there's one song of Lauren's called Doing Fine, where there is rhythm guitar and lead guitar, and Nick is on ganjo, so no one else is covering that. So I kind of had to kind of make a hybrid part that's, okay, this covers the lead and the rhythm, but mostly the rhythm. You kind of have to focus on that. And then when it's solo time, go to the solo. But you know, it is interesting how to, you have to kind of learn to interpret that stuff based on what your arsenal is as far as band members.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've gotten a maturity in your playing.
I try to.
Yeah, no. You're doing what you got to do to be a great team player.
Yeah, I think that's the most essential part in all this, you know, is just learning to play together as a team and making things together collectively the best you can.
Do you, outside of the publishing, do you have any goals or things that you're looking forward to over the next year or two?
Man, you know, it's just really cool where I joined with Lauren in 2015 was kind of, she had been off the road pretty much for 2 years. And to get to see where we've gone in the past 3 years, it's just really exciting, man. I think in the next 2 years are going to be just some really incredible things, and just to see that grow and be a part, get to be a part of it is freaking awesome.
And you guys are a pretty good team. I think you've all been together pretty much since that time, no?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, our team has been together for a while now, and man, we just have a really, really cool team to get to travel, like travel the road together and spend time and work and do life together. We were at rehearsals, and I was kind of stepped back. I was like, man, this is gonna be cool. This is gonna be a great year to get to spend with these guys, and it's awesome, man. It's gonna be exciting.
I've interviewed a few players that have had situations like that where they've been with an artist since, you know, either the beginning or since the arc of progress started. And I've seen some of them start now to have really, you know, the artist actually is, you know, breaking through in a big way, and they're all like, you know, so pumped up and excited behind it. I really hope you get to experience the same thing. That'll be nice for you guys, man.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Hey, let's talk real quick before we go under the hood. Desert Island Discs. What will be your three Desert Island Discs in no particular order, knowing that it could change tomorrow.
If I'm stuck on an island and I have three discs I can take with me.
Correct.
That's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First, all right, I'll take it back to something I kind of mentioned earlier. I'd have to take Sinatra Live at the Sands with Basie. I could listen to that thing over and over and over. I don't know what it is, man. There's something amazing about that album.
Is that the one where he says, "Hey, look, everybody brought their daughters with them today"?
I can't remember in his banter. He has a couple. There's like even like he has like his own stand up routine in it and everything. Man, it's just awesome. They did a few kind of revamped versions of some of his songs too. The arrangement's just amazing. It's one of my favorite albums of all time for sure. Cool. Sinatra Live at the Sands with Count Basie. It's killer. Another one would be this absolutely for sure, 100% is Buena Vista Social Club.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with that stuff, but
I'm not, but I know of them. And I remember that album when it came out.
Dude, it's like Cuban music, and it's like some traditional Cuban music, and Ry Cooter went to Cuba in a nutshell, went to Cuba and got all these guys that hadn't played together for like 20 years. Used to play all the time, and took these guys, made this album, ended up, I think, winning a Grammy, took these guys on a world tour, and they're in their upper ages at that point. And, man, it's such an amazing album. Buena Vista Social Club for sure. And the third one, I kind of struggle with on the third one, but I'll just say I'll just go with Police Synchronicity. I love that album.
Yeah, that's a great album.
So I'll take that one out with me.
Almost all their records from that era were really cool.
Yeah, for sure, man.
I was living in South Florida when Buena Vista Social Club came out, so as you'd imagine, it's a real big Cuban population down there. So that's why I remember that it was pretty big.
Oh yeah, man.
Hey, what's something that you've learned about yourself along the way? And I got to tell you, man, you're one of the happiest, cheeriest guys I've spoken to. Every time I talk to you, it's like, no, man, it's really cool when you talk to someone
that
has such a high energy level and, you know, is always positive. And I'm not saying that, you know, you don't have negative shit in your life like everybody does, but I mean, who doesn't, sure, right? But you're like so like upbeat, so positive, and just so peppy and perky, man. And it's you know, it's, I really enjoy that about you. And
thanks, man.
I would imagine that, you know, everybody that you're working with feels the same way.
Well, man, I tell you what, I definitely get that from my parents. I think that's something that I have learned, along the way, is that, man, just your perspective on things, if you just sometimes take a step back, you usually can see the positive things and thing. I mean, I like you said, not everything's always going to be positive. Not everything, you're going to go through some negative stuff in life. It's just inevitable. But I just learned that, you know, the more positive you are, the more you look for the good in things. I think you just enjoy life that much more, you know?
Yeah, well, you're a good guy that really sets a good example of that, man. I appreciate that about you. No, I do. It's nice. And I'm not just saying it to
people. No, I know. I know.
But no, that night you called me, I was like, this guy is so nice. I mean, that was so cool of him. And I was like, I'm talking to my wife. I was like, you know, I just dig that, man. I don't take stuff like that for granted. I think that you have to work to be like that. And even if it comes natural, it's tough to sustain that. And especially when it's genuine, I don't know. I just appreciate that in people.
Well, cheers, man. Yeah. Cheers to that.
That being said, and maybe the next answer is your dad or something. Do you have any heroes?
Oh man. Yeah. I think definitely more than one. I'd have to say my mom and dad both. I mean, just they've influenced me so much in life and just have always been positive. And always, man, just pushed me to pursue dreams and always believed in me, you know. To me, I think giving your child that opportunity, man, it's awesome. And then they helped me believe in myself. And, so definitely them, man, I had both, my mom's dad, it's my grandpa, and then my dad's exchange student dad, were both in World War II. So my dad, when he came to the U.S. in 73, came as an exchange student.
Oh,
and
okay.
This family, the McMasters, took him in.
Okay, gotcha.
And then when he moved back, they took him in again, and they've always just kind of adopted us as family. It's pretty amazing.
That's really nice.
And both those sets of families were just amazing. But my mom's dad and my dad's exchange student dad were both in World War II. And just to see just kind of the lives they lived in that era, that generation, those guys are heroes to me too.
I would agree with that 100%.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I would really agree with that. I think it's interesting. When I was a kid, I did not come from any kind of structure or military. But as an adult, I've met so many guys who've gone to service, and I have so much respect and admiration for anybody that has done anything like that. And I think,
oh, for sure,
they are not getting anything close to what they deserve.
For sure.
They're treated even worse than musicians. It's true, man. Tico, tell me about something about yourself people will either be surprised to hear or might find a little odd.
Surprised to hear or find a little odd. Okay. I've been over the past, I guess, since we went to Norway in 2016, mm-hmm. In March, I believe, of 2016. And since then, I've been using the app called Duolingo to try to learn Norwegian.
Wow, that's awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's really funny. I mean, I love it. One of my best friends is like of Norwegian descent, and he got me into this Viking culture stuff and Norway, and we got to go to Norway, and it was just beautiful, and the people were awesome. And so I just like, well, you know, I spend all this time on my phone. If I could spend 5 minutes a day on this app, maybe I could learn a language. So I've just been trying to slowly but surely learn my way into learning Norwegian.
That's very cool, man. So I know it's not Norway, but it's close. So my son sends me this thing yesterday. He's my middle son. He's 25. And it was on Facebook. And I don't think it's true. It's this video that says the country of Finland is paying you like $5,000 or $10,000 to go there and marry a Finnish woman because there's a shortage of men. And then they'll set you up in a job. So my son goes, I'm out of here. And it's because they have, and this is online, and they have in this video, like, you know, basically dozens and dozens of beautiful blonde hair. I mean, this is not for you if you don't like really good looking blonde hair, blue eyed women that are in really good shape. So you don't want to pay attention to it. But on the off chance that's your thing, go check it out, because
sounds like a scam to me.
I know. I don't really think that video is real. And, you know, he didn't challenge me on it, thank God, because I mean, I was happy he kind of might have realized it. But that was like that whole concept to come up with that was pretty hilarious.
That's hilarious.
I know. It was, and they had like pictures of like cheerleaders jumping up and down. And, you know, it was more like a like a fake commercial you'd see on during Saturday Night Live or something. It's hilarious. What's you talked about your mom and dad a lot. What's the most important thing your dad taught you?
Oh man. Well, so being from Costa Rica, you know, the saying, there's a saying in Costa Rica that's like the saying is pura vida. And pura vida means, the translation is pure life, but I've always kind of interpreted it as like when I talk to my grandma down there, I say, hey, how's it going? She's always like, ah, pura vida means like just living life to the full and loving life. And man, my dad is a very good example of that. And man, I just, that's definitely something he's taught me. Another thing is just, you know, seeing what he, how hard he worked to get a chance to come to the States and to leave home behind, and how tough that was. Just learning how to be strong during those, through those things. And it's just amazing, man. Just exactly how hard he worked to get to where he is, you know, and it's pretty awesome.
I think it's pretty awesome that you appreciate that and recognize that too, to be honest.
For sure. Yeah. For sure, man.
And how about your mom? What's the most important thing she taught you?
Man, my mom is so loving, so caring, and has the patience and ability to put up with me and my dad, which we're both crazy. So she's amazing there. Another thing with her is, you know, she, as a teacher to second grade kids, man, she just see how passionate she was about what she did and how much she put into taking that opportunity to just educate the kids and do the best she could to get them ready for life and down the road, and how much she cared about them was just, it's something I it's just instilled in me from that. She would even keep up with her students through high school and graduation and show up at their graduation and have gifts for them. That's incredible, man.
That's an amazing woman, man. That's
incredible.
That's really cool.
Yeah, man.
That being said, that passion, you know, you have that passion because if you didn't, you wouldn't have gone to your boss and said, you know what, this isn't for me. No, seriously, right. That's such a cool thing to do because, you know, you took care of yourself. And a lot of people don't realize that they need to take care of themselves till much later in life, or they never do it. You know, I'm older than you, and I read books about, or I don't look for this shit actually, but you know, I see things I don't like regrets. I'm not that guy, but I see a lot of things, and you know, I get the feeling there's a lot of repressed shit out there that people wanted to do and didn't do. And I think that you doing what you did, I really admire that because, you know, you did it at a younger age. And, you know, so that means, you know, you're never going to be in that situation.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. And even, absolutely. You know, nowadays I see a lot of kids come to Nashville. They're 18 right out of high school and stuff, which is all, I mean, if they know that's what they want to do, that's awesome. And I feel like I came even maybe a little late in the game being 25. But at the same time, it was, my mentality was more of, you know, well, first off, I'll say this, there's no roadmap. There's no saying, hey, you move out here and then you get a gig. It's just going to happen. There's definitely no security in that. There's no guarantee that's going to happen. But I think the thought of at least I'm just going to give it a shot. And if I at least just give it a shot, then who knows what could happen. It's kind of that mental process of it is like, I'm going to go there, make myself available and be in a place where it's available. And if I give it a shot and I go 100% and go behind it and it fails, then at least I knew I tried.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's just one of those things for sure that I just knew I had to do. And I think everybody has those things in life that they know they have something they want to try, and it's just at least give it a shot, you know?
Yeah, this it may not work, but if you don't give it a shot, it definitely won't work.
Right, exactly. Sure. Exactly.
Tico, what would you say the best thing that's ever happened to you?
The best thing that's ever happened to me? Well, man, I've been kind of harping on this for a while, but, man, I'm just so so lucky to have an amazing family. It's so cool to have a mom and dad that care so much and then have the family around that care so much as well. It's been really wicked cool having family in Costa Rica to get to go hang out there too and visit as well. You know, man, it's just, it's cool, man. It's cool to have a fun story and have an amazing family.
That's awesome, man. I'm so happy for you. Any hobbies or interests outside of music besides trying to learn how to speak Norwegian?
Well, it kind of goes in that category. I love to travel, man. I love to go see new places and explore and you know, a lot of times it kind of goes in with like, if we'll have a gig and say one time we had a gig in Switzerland and we had the option to stay a few days. Well, hell yeah. I stayed a few extra day. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. I live for that stuff. And because of that, I got the chance to go, I met a dude named Rafa, and Rafa took me and our buddies snowboarding in the Swiss Alps. And it's just wow. Like, oh my gosh, I'm snowboarding in the Swiss Alps.
So
and
cool.
Just the chance to see the world and get to see new things. It's just amazing, man. That's definitely a hobby of mine.
That's so cool. What's your favorite place you've traveled?
Well, okay. Traveling wise, I'm biased because I'm being half Costa Rican. It's hard to not say Costa Rica,
sure.
But I've got to spend a lot of time there and get to know the country well. And it's love Costa Rica. Outside of Costa Rica, I love Norway. But the other one I have to say that I just really love was Ireland.
You know, I've heard that several times from several different.
Man, I could move to Ireland.
Yeah, man. What is it about it?
It's beautiful, and the people are just so damn happy. like there's just something about infectious about how happy everyone is there, and how just cheerful they are, and how like well they just treat newcomers. To me, they were awesome, man. I loved Ireland.
That's very cool, man. I've heard that literally three or four times already. So awesome.
Yeah.
Anything you're working on, like currently trying to improve, like musically or personally or anything else?
Man, I think personally, I'm just trying to learn to try to make sure I give myself enough time to take care of myself and not get lost in working hard and not get lost in the work of things. We can often get so busy with so much other stuff that you just forget to take care of yourself, forget to exercise, forget to eat good. And man, if I think in this career and in this business, if you don't do those things, it makes life a lot harder.
I agree. I think in general, if you're not keeping, man, I had a shitty morning, nothing major. It's just like stupid aggravation. And my wife was out of the house and I said, man, I didn't miss the gym yesterday, and I go every day. And I said to my wife, I said, I cannot wait to get to the gym. And man, honestly, when I came back, I just felt like a different human being. And it's amazing how much exercise benefits you that you know, you don't necessarily measure on a scale or on muscle size, but man, it just really fixes your head up.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think there's definitely something to that. It just gives you that chance to just, I don't know the science behind it or anything, but man, it just, if it's kind of get your mind off things sometimes and get your body moving and going, like it could change how you feel about your whole day.
Hell yeah, man. I agree. Hey, two more questions and I'm going to let you go, and I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, man.
Toughest decision you ever had to make or the hardest thing you ever had to do besides this interview?
Yeah, this has been tough, bro. I'll have to talk to you about that after.
Need a drink now.
Yeah, man. Give me some Jameson or something. No.
There you go.
Man,
Irish whiskey.
Dude. You know, the toughest thing, honestly, that's a hard question, but I would definitely say leaving home.
That's fair.
And taking the risk to leave. I mean, growing up an only child, I've been so close to my parents and so close to family. And sometimes, you know, when all you ever known is there in Oklahoma, to leave something that you love so much it's tough, man. That was a tough thing. But I'll tell you the cool thing that I've got from that is, you know, I had been in Oklahoma for 24, 25 years. And at that time, it kind of the time there in Oklahoma had felt a little monotonous. And I feel like my time with my mom and dad, I kind of took for granted, my family as well. And you just, I think that kind of can hurt your relationships with those people that are closest. And so through making that tough decision to move away to Nashville, not only did I, you know, get to pursue what I love pursuing, but it strengthened my relationship with my parents. We realized that, hey, now the time we get together is just that much more important, and that much we're lucky to have the time we get together. So it's cool to see how that has played out, but that was definitely a key part of making it so tough, but it kind of is amazing to see full circle how it's worked out.
That's awesome, man. I'm really happy to hear that. Last question. What's been the biggest change in your personality over the last 5 years or so?
The biggest change in my personality over the last how many years?
Let's say five.
That's a tough one, man. I mean, I hope that I haven't changed too much from what you were talking about earlier. I try to keep that going on, but I think it's also to something I've learned is to try not to take myself too serious, or try to get caught up in moments and let that affect how I feel, or let it affect the big picture. I've tried to learn to kind of step back and take a deep breath and just, all right, this happened, or this is going on, so let's handle it like this, you know, like let's find a solution to the problem rather than to go into kind of a panic mode. You learn that this work is very important, but if you take a deep breath and step back, you usually can get it all sorted out.
So not to overreact, kind of?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, man.
I was going to say, and not to get off picture, but if you want a funny story, you want to ask this question about the most embarrassing thing.
Man, it's up to you if you want to talk about it.
Oh, it's freaking great.
Okay, let's do it. Yo, go ahead. Right, just cool. Talk about the most embarrassing thing that happened to you on stage.
All right, man. The most embarrassing thing that's happened to me on stage, without a doubt.
You're laughing even. This has got to be good.
Dude, I remember this. Oh, it's so horrible, but it's so great. So I was telling you earlier kind of story about Brothers Osborne, and met those guys a long time ago at Santa's Pub and have been friends with those guys for a while. And man, I love those guys to death. So I guess this is 2 years ago now. I can't remember if it's two or three. But we are playing a show in the Baltimore area, which is where those guys are from. Mm-hmm. At what is that place called? Oh, I can't think of the name of it. If I do, but we're playing. It's a really killer venue, packed house, sold out show. I think like 3,000 people, and it's one of those venues that there's like two or three levels where people kind of look down on the stage, mm-hmm. right? And so it's, you know, Lauren Elena opening for Brothers Osborne, and just so happened that some of my other buddies were there playing. I think they're playing in town with Ryan Hurd. And they all came to watch our part of the show, and I kind of got side stage or whatever towards the end, and we're playing the last song of our set, which is a song of Lauren's called Georgia Peaches. And at the time, I always felt wild enough to, on the end of the song, always jump up on the drum riser and then jump off.
I hear it coming.
Oh, dude. So there's two hits at the end of the song, and just goes, da-da, and I jump up to jump off and hit those hits. And when I jump off of the drum riser, my foot gets caught on one of the cables. Ugh. And dude, I start spinning, and it felt slow motion, man. And I somehow have the timing to hit the two hits, but then I put my arm under the guitar rather than catch my face and just go face down, face flat. And at the end of the show, there's no sound. We hit those two hits, and all you hear is grrr, like just guitar feedback and guitar noise.
Did your guitar get trashed?
My face did, but my guitar I saved.
Wow.
But Lauren turned around and was like, Tico Hernandez, everybody.
What a perfect.
Oh, the whole place was just laughing. And oh my gosh, man. My friends were side stage. Everybody, it was just ridiculous, dude. This is the most embarrassing moment I've ever had on stage, is face planting in front of 3,000 people at the very end of the show.
That is a good story, man. That's one of the better ones, actually, that I've heard.
Oh, dude. It was rough. I forget what TJ Osborne said to me afterward, but it was something like, hey, how's your face?
I think that's great what she said. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam or Tico Hernandez.
Tico Hernandez, everybody. Yeah, the people just started clapping.
That's great, man.
Oh, man.
Well, listen, hey, you want to quickly talk about Okies Rock?
Yeah, man, sure. It's I guess
okiesrock.com.
Yeah, okiesrock.com. I guess 5 years ago, the graphic design side of me had this idea to do some apparel based off some just this idea I had with the state of Oklahoma and a guitar. And I love being from Oklahoma, and you ask anybody, I talk about it all the time. And our nickname are Okies. So, So yeah, man, Okies Rock, because there's so many amazing musicians, not talking about myself, from Oklahoma. And a friend of mine, Casey Frazier, and I came together with this idea and built this company and started selling shirts. And sure enough, it picked up, and it was really cool, man. We have a good time. And, man, I just love kind of spreading that around that, you know, Okies Rock, and we're all proud of where we're from, man.
That's awesome. And it's a really cool website. If anybody's into that kind of, you know, e-commerce stuff with where you, you know, really cool shirts with really interesting designs based around the state of Oklahoma. So I would check
out
okiesrock.com. I love that name.
Thanks, dude.
Well, let me tell people where they could find you. First of all, it's Lauren Elena. She has a website, correct? And she can see where you're on tour.
Yeah. So Lauren's website, I believe, is laurenelenaofficial.com.
Great. Awesome. And so you could go on there and see where Tico's going to be in town.
Yeah, we'll be on tour this year with Cole Swindell, and we'll also later in the year be on tour with Jason Aldean. So we're just super stoked about it, man.
Are they, someone told me, I know I just thought of this because of, I know Jason was out there, you know, as his kind of lead act with Vegas. Someone said they're doing that again.
I believe we are, I can't remember what the date is, but we'll be on that tour as well. But we're going back out to Vegas. Yeah. As part of the tour, which it's going to be a super emotional, man.
Yeah.
With Lauren, we were at Route 90, we played Route 91 Festival the day before. And so it just hit so close to home for everyone involved. We were in Canada this past fall and met a lot of people that were at that festival, man. And it's just so touching to hear their stories, and just, man, hearts go out to everyone that had been involved in that, you know?
Absolutely, man. Totally. So laurenelenaofficial.com.
laurenelenaofficial.com. Yeah.
Okies Rock. And you can find Tico on Twitter at Tico Man, T-I-C-O Man, M-A-N, or on Instagram, where he is, like I said, the guru. Tico, is it Tico Man Production?
Tico Man Productions.
There you go, man. Hey, you know what? I'd love to have you back here in like 2 or 3 years to see what's going on with you. Here's my prediction. I think you'll be a band leader somewhere or producing.
All right.
That's what I think is going to happen, but we'll see. Cause I think your personality lends itself to like leadership sort of stuff. I think, you know, whatever, we'll see. I mean, like, hold on, let me put my crystal ball away, you know, anyway, for whatever that's worth, we'll see.
That sounds cool to me, man. I'm definitely excited to have that conversation.
And I will look forward to it, man. You're an awesome guy. I'm really glad we get to connect. I'm really glad that you're in my world. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and tell your story. And shout out to your mom and dad, man, because they've done such a good job with being parents. I could hear that loud and clear. And you're such an awesome guy, and you're a product of them. So shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Hernandez.
Hey, thanks, man. It's been an honor to be here with you. I appreciate you including me in this. I know the list of people you've had, and it's just an honor to be included in that. And it's an honor to get to do what we do, man.
Well, thank you so much, man. You're the best. And I think those guys, a lot of those guys got lost. I think they thought they were coming to another show. they wind up here, and I suck them in. They don't realize. All right. Hey, listen, man, you're the best. And we will stay in touch. Everybody, thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this interview. Check out Tico Hernandez on tour with Lauren Elena. He's a great guitarist, musical director, and he's got his shit together. Check him out on Twitter at Tico Man, on Instagram at Tico Man Productions, and support him at his e-commerce store, okiesrock.com. I want to say thanks to Tico for spending time with us. I really appreciate it, and thanks for being patient and making the time. Go to everyonelovesguitar.com. Sign up to get notified of future episodes along with all the cool stuff we got going on. Now, remember, happiness is a choice. Be nice, go play your guitar, and have some fun. Till next time, peace and love, everybody. I'm out.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Everyone Loves Guitar. If you did, make sure you go to everyonelovesguitar.com/subscribe and subscribe to the audio podcast and to our very active YouTube community. And if you have any comments, please write me at everyonelovesguitar.com/hello. We'll see you on the next episode. Until then, make sure you choose happiness, relax, and have as much fun as possible.